Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Our morning rain is on its way out. I'm out here on the patio where it is chilly. I'll talk about a cold night ahead, but some warmer day is coming our way.
Plus, hundreds of Durham teachers and school staff are united in a protest over pay. The group is on the move, marching in the Bull City to spread their message. We're live with the group to explain why they feel this is worth the inconvenience it's created for parents at the 12 schools that were forced to close today.
And North Carolina Republicans are calling for action at the U.S.-Mexico border. What they want Governor Roy Cooper to do and his response.
Several hundred Durham teachers called out sick today and rallied in the rain, calling for a solution to their staffing crisis. Their main message, better pay, would help. Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Classes were canceled at a dozen schools across Durham today, and parents for all the schools listed here were given just hours' notice about the school closure. WRAL's Monica Casey is live in Durham right now as those teachers rallied as a group and then marched around the building carrying their message. Monica, these teachers are aware of the inconvenience this caused today with the families, but they feel this is what they had to do.
Yeah, Jeff, that's right. These pay issues mostly impact classified staff. That is a group of employees in the schools, pretty much everyone who isn't a teacher. But the teachers who are here today tell me it is important to show support for their colleagues by being here. This crowd has thinned out, but we estimate at least 500 people were here rallying for the last 2 hours. They also then marched on surrounding streets. I spoke with a speech language pathologist who tells me this pay issue impacts children's education in Durham.
As we're already understaffed, and if people's pay is not sustainable for them to pay their bills, they will look for other employment, and then we will be even more understaffed. And in the end, our students are the ones who suffer the most.
And that speech language pathologist says they are thinking of children while they're out here rallying. With 12 schools closed, that's a big impact on a lot of families in Durham. And they are thinking of those families. The union partnered with mutual aid groups here to provide food distribution sites. These will be open throughout the county at different times throughout the day. We have a full list of all of them on our website. The one here at Mini Fort Brown is going to be open until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Jeff?
Yeah, kids counting on those meals. Monica Casey live in Durham. Thank you. We will have continuous coverage of these protests and their impacts throughout the day on air and online. Michelle?
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Jeff, we're following some breaking news. Just about an hour ago, a new gerrymandering lawsuit challenging the legitimacy of North Carolina's political maps for the 2024 elections. The lawsuit right now is seeking to overturn the state's legislative districts. They say of 170 seats in the state legislature, about 12 are expected to be competitive in November's elections. The rest are all either heavy Republican or heavy Democratic. And the lawsuit says that's unconstitutional. The lead plaintiff in this lawsuit, former Republican State Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr, is suing as a private citizen. Michelle, thanks. The 8-year-old girl at the center of this morning's Amber Alert has been found safe. Duplin County investigators posted on social media that Callie Holloman was taken by her mother, Rhonda. The girl's father has temporary legal custody of Callie. They say her mother showed up to the father's house, got into an argument with him, and took off with Callie. Authorities canceled the Amber Alert around 9 a.m. after the girl was found safe.
North Carolina House Republicans are calling on Governor Cooper to take action on the crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us from the legislative building right now, where, Laura, they say the crisis, those Republican lawmakers are saying that the crisis at the border is having an effect here in North Carolina.
You know, Jeff, state lawmakers don't usually wade into national politics, but House Republicans made an exception today. They're calling on Governor Roy Cooper to direct the State Guard, National Guard, I should say, troops that are currently at the border in Texas to work with the Texas Guard rather than working with the Federal Border Patrol. State House Speaker Tim Moore, of course, is running for Congress, but he insists that's not why he hastily called a press conference this morning to criticize the Biden administration's handling of the crisis at the border in Texas. Moore said North Carolina is affected by the large number of immigrants crossing the border because many of them could come here. He also blames a lack of border security for an increased flow of illegal drugs like fentanyl into the state.
We had the sheriff's deputy here in Wake County who was killed by MS-13 gang members who had entered the border illegally. I mean, this is a danger to every single person in this state. And I don't want to overplay this or try to hype this up, but we've got to deal with it. We recognize it's a problem.
WRL has not independently verified that the suspects in the killing of Deputy Ned Byrd were, in fact, members of MS-13. In the meantime, Governor Roy Cooper offered this response to Republican lawmakers. A bipartisan U.S. Senate is close to the strongest border security law in a generation. But Donald Trump is telling Republicans to stop because a tough border law hurts his campaign. If Republican legislators really wanted a strong border, they would release a statement supporting this legislation instead of bowing to Trump and supporting violating the Constitution and rule of law. Well, I asked Speaker Moore whether he had spoken to North Carolina's congressional delegation about that bill. He said he won't have any say over what Congress does, quote, until next January. Jeff?
Laura Leslie, live at the legislative building in Raleigh for us this noon. Thank you.
U.S. House Republicans say Speaker Mike Johnson declared a bipartisan border deal officially dead. That's according to Republicans who attended a meeting with him. Johnson's office says the speaker will address the matter at length today. Amy Kiley reports on the politics around this decision.
I have talked to former President Trump about this issue at length, and he understands that. He understands that we have a responsibility to do here.
Speaker Mike Johnson is declaring a bipartisan border deal dead, according to House Republicans. Former President Donald Trump wants to kill the plan. GOP Senator James Lankford has been negotiating with Senate Democrats. That has Republican leaders feeling stuck, according to GOP Senator John Cornyn.
We ought to do everything we can to try and fix it. And if we can't get there, fine. But if we don't try, then shame on us.
Some Republicans are falling in line with Trump. They refuse to support any border legislation that doesn't meet all their demands. That's a tall order in a divided Congress.
Bipartisanship is the only way that action on the border is going to happen.
Republicans say President Joe Biden should use more executive actions to address immigration.
Our country is experiencing a full-fledged invasion with illegal immigrants encouraged by Joe Biden's open border policies.
Biden says he's done all he can without Congress, but he says the day he can sign a bipartisan bill letting him close the border, he will shut it down.
This all comes as House Republican lawmakers voted to advance impeachment charges against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. They accuse him of disregarding federal laws on immigration. The next steps in that impeachment process coming up in our next half hour.
Rain is tapering off across our viewing area. It'll stay cool and damp, though, for much of the afternoon. A live look at North Hills right now. You see those clouds. Boy, that is heavy cloud cover. Elizabeth Gardner is out in the WRL weather patio right now with a look at when the skies might start to clear. Is it raw out there, Elizabeth?
It is. You know how it gets when it's been raining and it's cold. And, you know, the temperature is in the mid to upper 40s right now. And, you know, typically that wouldn't require a puffy jacket. But when it's damp, it just feels so much worse. We take a look at live dual Doppler 5000 radar. And you can see there's just a tiny bit of rain left. You can see that one shower. I actually got caught in that one just a little while ago as it moved through Raleigh. So it's moving through Andrew right now and through Clayton. And it's just not much rain left out there. We take a look at Futurecast and you can see we take it out to 1230 and it's basically out of our viewing area. So we're pretty much done with this. We'll roll it on out and pause it again at around 4 o'clock. And you can see some clearing up near Roxborough, up near the Virginia line. And we take it down to 5 o'clock and it's starting to clear in some other spots as well. We'll be clearing from north to south later on this afternoon and evening. So we might get a little peak of sunshine before the sun sets, but it won't be for long. We'll have a clear night tonight and then a warmer day tomorrow, which will be nice to see. But we're still looking at, again, just that last little bit, about one more hour of a quick sprinkle. How much rain did we see? We saw anywhere from about a tenth to about a third of an inch. So it wasn't much, even though we saw the rain falling for a pretty long duration of time. Our temperatures will continue to hang out in the upper 40s for a little while, and then we drop on into the 30s late tonight and early tomorrow morning. We're back to near freezing. I'll walk you through the chilly mornings, but mild afternoons coming up in just a bit.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Raleigh police searching for a robbery suspect. Here's what we know. Just after 9 o'clock this morning, police responded to an armed robbery at the South State Bank. This is in Raleigh in between 540 and 440. The adult male suspect demanded money. However, the teller did not have access to money. That's when the suspect fled the scene. A weapon was implied but was not seen. Raleigh police say this is an ongoing investigation. Also, Durham police asking for help and identifying this suspect in a robbery that happened last week. Last Tuesday, officers responded to a bank robbery on NC Highway 54. They say this man entered the bank, handed the teller a note demanding money. That's when he took the money and ran from the bank. These are pictures of the person they are looking for. If you have any information, call police.
Michelle, thanks. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health is investigating a possible cancer cluster at a clinical laboratory inside UNC hospitals. WREL's Shelley Jackson joins us now. And Shelley, what prompted the Institute to look into this?
Well, Renee, UNC Health asked for the evaluation after employees at McClendon Clinical Laboratories raised concerns about a possible pattern of cancer in current and former colleagues. UNC Health posted this information on its website January 18th. It also says it has asked the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services to look into the situation. DHHS confirms it has been in touch with UNC about this possible cancer cluster and visited McClendon on January 23rd for an initial assessment. The area in question is a lab on the first floor of the main hospital. The lab analyzes blood and tissue samples and performs other pathology tests. A full report from DHHS is expected in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Now, UNC Health says it is reaching out to current and former employees. They have not confirmed the number of cancer cases in the population yet. UNC Health has created a phone line you can call if you have any questions or concerns. For that number, go to our website, WRAL.com.
We will see what they find out. Shelley Jackson, thank you.
Next at noon, response from both sides of the aisle on the drone attack that killed three U.S. service members. Where retaliation plans stand from the Biden administration.
Also, making war worse than it already is. What's happening in Gaza to the people who lost their homes in the fight?
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, following some breaking news out of Raleigh, we are getting images of what looks like a very bad crash. This is on Kildare Farm Road and 1010 Road. Our colleague Ashley Rowe took this video as she was driving. You can see an overturned truck. There are multiple ambulances on scene. We are working to get more information on this to learn how many people were involved in this, if anybody was hurt. As soon as we get more information on this, we will bring it to you from the Live Center.
Michelle, thanks. President Biden says he is ready to respond to the drone attack that killed three U.S. soldiers in Jordan. We don't know yet how he wants to respond. Now lawmakers on Capitol Hill are responding from both sides of the aisle. NBC's Bree Jackson reports.
While questions remain about how a drone got onto a U.S. military base in Jordan, killing three American soldiers, President Biden has made a decision on how to respond, although he did not give any details. The president also says he holds Iran responsible for the militia's attack.
I do hold them responsible in the sense that they're supplying the weapons to the people who did it.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. response could be multi-leveled and sustained over time. On Capitol Hill, there's a bipartisan push urging action to combat Iran's illicit oil trade.
The United States needs to show strength, and the administration needs to escalate and sustain the response.
But also understand that this is a trap that China and Russia are also setting. They would love for us to get involved in a war in the Middle East, which would take our eye off of Ukraine, which would allow China to move against Taiwan.
Administration officials say the U.S. is not looking for a wider war with Iran, but they have to walk a tightrope of retaliating without that happening.
They just can't be my baby.
Meanwhile, the families of those soldiers killed are remembering their loved ones.
I know she's gone, but she is my hero, and she will always be my hero.
A ceremony honoring the three fallen soldiers will take place Friday when they return to American soil. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
President Biden spoke with the families of the service members killed in Jordan and will attend the transfer of their bodies in Dover, Delaware, Friday.
This is a result of heavy rain in Gaza City. It is making it hard, a hard situation worse for the folks who are displaced there. Many people are living in makeshift tents and they just can't hold up against the heavy rain. Other issues like lack of electricity and food in the area are making it hard for people to survive during the Israel-Hamas war. 85% of Gaza's population has been displaced by the war. Taiwan is preparing for a possible surprise attack from China. The island is conducting defensive military drills by air and sea as tensions are high between China and Taiwan. Warships from China sail in the waters surrounding Taiwan almost every day. Taiwan is a self-governing state, and voters elected a new president there earlier this month. But China claims Taiwan as its own territory. 1216, let's get outside to Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL patio right now. Weather patio is looking cloudy out there still, and we know it's raw and damp.
It is. It's a little bit damp, you know, here on the pavers, but we're starting to dry out a little bit. It's been a while since we've had widespread rain. We started to really see it dissipate. Now, the last little bit of it is out there just north of Fayetteville. It's almost a little bit of a line out there that's still dropping southward. We'll zoom in on it just a little bit. And you can see from south of Raleigh down toward Lillington and Fayetteville. Fayetteville, you're going to see that quick little shower roll through. And then that's going to be about the end of it. We also have a little bit of rain there up around Wilson. That's going to pass through parts of Wayne County around Goldsboro, and then we're going to be done with it. And that's really light. It's quick. Once all this moves south, we're going to start to see things brightening up a little bit. As a matter of fact, it's starting to look a little brighter here, but they're well, I take that back. I was about to say, but there are no breaks in the clouds. There are. I'm actually seeing a little bit of blue that's starting to peek out already. So the future cast, the models are really showing that much later around, say, 4 or 5 o'clock. But we're already beginning to see it out here. So that may allow our temperatures to really start to warm up a little more quickly. Here's a look at satellite and radar. We have this low pressure system that is spinning down off the coast. It's pulling away from us, and it's going to continue to take all that rain with it. And we'll just continue to dry things out, which will feel pleasant. It is going to be chilly behind that low. We're going to see the winds coming out of the north, and that's going to deliver some chilly air for tonight. We take a look at future cast, and again, looking at some cloud cover out there right now. As we move it on through the day, we'll pause it there at 4 o'clock, and we're starting to see the clearing. But as I mentioned, I think parts of the region are going to clear out a little bit faster, even like right here. That's 545. You can see partly cloudy skies. A look at Sanford, though, and Sanford's still really wet. We have water on the camera lens there in Sanford, so it's wet and chilly, too. 43 degrees is our current temperature. A dew point 39 means there's still a decent amount of moisture in the atmosphere. Our temperatures will hold in the mid to upper 40s for this afternoon and then start to drop. It is still 36 in Roxboro right now. That was the temperature overnight, so we really haven't seen temperatures climbing much. The warmest spots are 45 over in Clinton and in Goldsboro. Of course, the Triangle is sitting at 43 or 44 in Fayetteville, so it's definitely cool out here. Noticeably cooler than yesterday. We're running about 5 to 7 degrees colder than this time yesterday, but I think we're going to warm up a little bit with some sunshine. 48 officially is our forecast for Raleigh, 47 in Durham, 49 in Fayetteville, so it's going to be cooler than normal. Our normal is 53. Tomorrow and Friday, though, look really nice. 61 for tomorrow, 63 for Friday under partly cloudy skies, and then it's a little bit cooler for the weekend. We take a look into February, and it looks like we'll have equal chances of above and even below normal temperatures, kind of sandwiched right in there. So that should mean, at least for the start of February, that we don't have anything dramatic coming our way. It's not going to be really hot or really cold. But you know what Friday is, right? Friday is Groundhog Day. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, does the groundhog say we're going to have six more weeks of winter or an early spring? I think if you look past Friday, it looks more like winter. Saturday through Tuesday, our highs are in the 50s. We'll take a look, and we'll actually look at a scientific view of what could happen in February, coming up in just a bit.
Elizabeth, thanks. The man at the center of a car and foot chase in Wake County is in court today. Why he was on law enforcement's radar and what new charges he's facing at 5.
Then at 5:30, crime and violent incidents are up 18% in North Carolina schools. North Carolina education leaders share what their plan is to make those numbers drop. And still ahead this noon, get ready for a Super Bowl Barbie. What you can expect from Mattel after the game next in Money Matters.
Plus, Visa is facing a new lawsuit. We'll explain how some people bought a gift card with no money on it.
Sanford, no sun this noon. You can actually see some of the raindrops on that camera right there, and heavy cloud cover for certain as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Get ready for Super Bowl Barbie and a judge rules on Elon Musk's pay package. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aper.
Elon Musk's nearly $56 billion pay package has been voided by a judge in Delaware. The judge called the process that led to the deal deeply flawed. She also questioned Musk's extensive ties with the Tesla board members who negotiated the deal. The 2018 pay package is based on Tesla stock and is the largest ever for the CEO of a U.S. publicly traded company. A Tesla shareholder sued, alleging the board misled investors. Musk can appeal the decision, and Tesla may have to come up with a new pay plan. Monsanto and its parent company Bayer will have to pay $2.2 billion after a jury said Roundup caused a man's cancer. The Pennsylvania man had used the weed killer on his property for 20 years. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The jury concluded that Roundup is a, quote, defective cancer-causing product. It also said that Monsanto was negligent and failed to warn about the danger of the weed killer, according to the lawyers representing the man. Bayer plans to appeal and believes it will be able to get the award eliminated or reduced. Mattel is selling a limited edition Barbie for the Super Bowl. The doll will be dressed as either a Kansas City Chiefs or San Francisco 49ers fan, depending on who wins. You can pre-order either version now at creations.mattel.com. The cost is $30, and only orders for the winning Barbie will be processed. The others will be refunded. Mattel is also selling Super Bowl editions of its Little People toys and Uno card game. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Visa is facing legal troubles over a card-draining scam with its vanilla gift cards. A man claims in a proposed class-action lawsuit that he was scammed out of $4,000. He says he bought 8 gift cards, but they were all emptied out. The lawsuit alleges the gift cards are sold in cardboard sleeves, and thieves can get account information without it being noticed. The thieves could then monitor the card's balance on the website and spend the money.
Next at noon, top executives from some of the biggest social media companies are on Capitol Hill this morning. Why some lawmakers say they need to do more to keep children safe on the platforms. That's next.
Plus, state troopers have a new security upgrade. What you can expect to see and how it could help save a life. That's coming up.
And here are your winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We take you back to that breaking news in Durham, where Durham Public School teachers and staff are continuing to rally together. This is that rally that led to the closure of 12 schools today across the district.
We took you there live at the top of this hour. The group is thinning out, but that is not softening the message they're sending. WRL's Monica Casey joins us live from Durham now. And Monica, this group gathered at 10 this morning, and they're not done.
Yeah, Renee, there are still some people here. This is the spot where we were less than a week ago when about 1,000 people rallied about this issue before the school board meeting. We estimate at least 500 were here again this morning to have their voices heard. The pay issue that they are here protesting impacts specifically classified employees. That's a group made up of pretty much everyone who isn't a teacher in the schools, but there were tons of teachers out here today to support their colleagues. The crowd has thinned out now, but since people have been here for more than 2 hours, you can see them in this video walking on the streets around this building, holding up their signs. They're protesting salary changes for those classified employees, where that group doesn't get credit for work outside the district unless it was with the state. For example, many of the physical and occupational therapists with DPS have private practice experience that was previously taken into consideration in their pay. Now, the rally here this morning was just one of multiple events happening today about this issue. This group is planning to picket outside the DPS building downtown starting at 2 o'clock. Back to you.
Monica Casey live in Durham for us. Thank you. We will have continuing coverage of these protests and their impacts throughout the day on air and online. New this noon, executives from 5 major social media companies are facing some tough questions on Capitol Hill.
Lawmakers are pressing these executives about what they're doing to improve child safety measures on their sites. WRO's Ken Smith listened in on the morning session. He joins us now with some of the takeaways. Ken.
Renee and Jeff, the executives include Snapchat's CEO Evan Spiegel and Meta's Mark Zuckerberg. Also in the hot seat, TikTok's CEO, as well as the head of X, formerly known as Twitter. Lawmakers in the Senate Judiciary Committee, where you're looking live right now, wasted no time talking about the trauma many families have experienced because of their social media platforms. Senator Amy Klobuchar, for one, talked about some parents in the audience who lost their children to drug overdoses from drugs purchased online. Other senators shared similar stories of families who experienced loss or heartache. Listen to what South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham had to say in admonishing the CEOs testifying today.
Mr. Zuckerberg, you and the companies before us, I know you don't mean it to be so, but you have blood on your hands. You have a product. You have a product that's killing people.
I was sexually exploited on Facebook.
I was sexually exploited on Instagram.
Video of survivors online who survived sexual predators and the effect that ordeal had on their lives. Some senators were visibly impatient with some of the answers they were getting, particularly in the area of mental health and what some lawmakers called a lack of accountability on this issue. It should be noted, though, some executives like Mark Zuckerberg expressed support for new legislation aimed at making the Internet safer for children. Well, we'll be monitoring this hearing throughout the day. Look for new reporting about some of the other significant takeaways from this hearing. That's all starting at 4 right here on WRAL.
This is a very high interest for a lot of parents. Ken, thank you.
House Republicans have voted to advance their impeachment articles against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Now, a vote on the articles by the full House of Representatives will happen, although a date for that has not been set. The Homeland Security Committee debated past midnight. All Republicans on the committee voted in favor, while the Democrats were unified against it. House Republicans accuse Mayorkas and the Biden administration of disregarding federal laws on immigration. If he is impeached, Mayorkas would become the first cabinet secretary to be impeached in nearly 150 years.
Another North Carolina family is suing the makers of lead-contaminated apple cinnamon fruit pouches. The family in Hickory, which is west of Charlotte, says their 2 children are recovering from lead poisoning after eating the Wanabana pouches. The lawsuit says the children's blood lead levels have dropped since cutting the pouches out of their diet, but they need continuous medical monitoring to track the impacts of the lead poisoning.
Today, gun rights activists were disappointed following a surprise decision by state government. Dozens of activists traveled to Raleigh from all across the state to speak out against a proposed rule for concealed carry permits. The state's review, the Rules Review Commission, decided not to take a vote, so nobody was allowed to speak despite packing the committee room. These activists have been arguing with the state for months now about training handbooks for concealed carry classes. The Concealed Carry Instructors Association argues the books create an unnecessary burden. It also says the books cost too much money and have incorrect information.
New at noon, an equipment upgrade could help state troopers save your life. WRL's Brian Schrader looks at how the new technology works. Brian, fill us in.
Renee, imagine driving in a part of North Carolina you don't know very well. You see a crash, maybe you're involved in a crash. You dial 911, but you can't really tell the dispatcher where you are. Well, now the Highway Patrol is going to be able to find you. Over the past several months, the agency has upgraded its dispatch system. It now can pinpoint a caller's location with GPS immediately and easily identify the nearest available trooper. That state trooper also can view the details of the call in real time on their laptop.
Being able to find someone who calls us and says, you know, I'm stranded on the highway, but I don't know exactly where I'm at. You know, our troopers not out there searching for you know, unneeded minutes. They're going right to where someone needs help.
That new system also allows troopers to see each other on the map, and that makes it easier to provide backup or to respond to emergencies. Before this upgrade, they had to coordinate only over the phone and radio, so this is going to save a lot of time. It's an $11 million project using federal COVID relief money, and Renee, First Sergeant Knox told me that there are parts of that dispatch system that dated back to the 1970s, so it was due for an overhaul.
And if it saves lives, and I'm sure it will, that's money well spent. Brian, thank you. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Cumberland and Johnston counties. A Fayetteville native is preparing to take the big stage in Las Vegas. Fayetteville State University grad Joshua Williams plays for the Chiefs. It's his second year in the league and his second year at the Super Bowl. Williams plays cornerback for Kansas City. The Chiefs drafted him in the fourth round in 2022. In Johnston County, a concert this week will raise money for families of cancer patients. Idlewild South will play at Tavern in the Grove in Clayton. This is part of their, quote, Cancer Really Does Suck tour. Proceeds will go to families dealing with cancer-related issues. Tickets are $20 if you buy in advance and $25 at the entrance. The show begins Friday night at 6:45.
After the break, a look at how hospitals in Gaza are coping and how many patients will benefit from the latest donation of desperately needed medical supplies.
Plus, we have a sneak peek at what the Chiefs and 49ers will wear for their Super Bowl rematch, how it's similar to what we saw 4 years ago.
An overcrowded hospital in Gaza received some much-needed supplies, but it's still lacking many necessities. The World Health Organization dropped off medical supplies to the Nasser Hospital in the southern Gaza Strip. It provided enough supplies for about 1,000 patients. The hospital is currently treating 400 people. Doctors ran out of gauze and antibiotics and even had to reuse equipment that hadn't been properly sterilized because of the lack of clean tools. The hospital has run out of beds.
Colleges, universities, and students are dealing with another financial aid headache. Yesterday, the Department of Education announced financial aid information will not be given to colleges and universities until March. Data from the FAFSA form was supposed to be sent to higher education institutions starting this month. The delay is part of the department's move to fix an error calculating aid. This is one of several issues with the new simplified FAFSA form. We're getting our first look at the uniforms the 49ers and the Chiefs will wear during the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs will be the designated home team in the game at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. That's because the NFC and AFC alternate each year as the home conference for the big game. So the Chiefs got to choose first, and they went with their home red uniform. The San Francisco 49ers revealed that they will wear their traditional road white jersey. This means the teams will be wearing the same jerseys they did when they faced off in the 2020 Super Bowl.
Our teacher of the week was inspired by her art teacher at the school where she now works. We'll introduce you coming up.
Plus, a sneak peek at ESPN's College Game Day basketball pregame show. What you need to know ahead of it. Welcome back. Our teacher of the week is working at the high school she attended as a student. WRL's Brian Schrader takes us to a Nash County classroom where an art teacher ensures students can be themselves.
Almost like this, like a light blue.
Tiffany Raffio is helping her Southern Nash High School art students fulfill their creative potential. She graduated from Southern Nash, and she says her art teacher back then, Miss Foster, put her on the path to teaching.
I love art, and I went to be a physical therapist. That just wasn't happening for me, so I went back to school to become an art teacher. Shade.
Rafio was an elementary teacher for years and returned to her alma mater here at Southern Nash just 6 months ago. A student nominated Rafio, saying that she goes out of her way to make the classroom a welcoming place.
You're WREL's Teacher of the Week!
Oh, wow.
Let's have a round of applause, huh? Congratulations.
Rafio says this is a big honor.
Not being here very long to make that an impact on somebody, that's a lot. It's a lot.
Brian Schrader, WRAL News, Bailey.
If you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, right now the House Committee is meeting, talking about the threat of Chinese cyber threats. That who you just saw was FBI Director Christopher Wray. He's warning that Chinese hackers aim to wreak havoc on U.S. critical infrastructure. Wray also arguing there has been far too little public focus on this. Things like water treatment plants, the electrical grids, oil and natural gas pipelines, and the transportation systems. And he says the risk requires our attention now. He went on to say that every day these hackers are actively attacking the U.S. economy, security, engaging in wholesale theft of our innovation and our personal and corporate data, and we have to act now. Michelle, thanks. ESPN's College Game Day basketball pregame show is coming to Chapel Hill. They'll be live from the Dean Smith Center on Saturday. That'll happen ahead of the first Battle of the Blues this season. The hour-long show will be live starting at 11 a.m. Lines can start forming at 7:30 Saturday morning, with the Smith Center doors opening at 8:30. UNC's clear bag policy will be in effect for the game. UNC is looking for revenge after Duke won both regular season games last year. WREL will have team coverage of Saturday's game and all the fanfare. Look for live reports from Chapel Hill and Duke.
Nothing could put rain on that parade for certain. Can't wait for it. Elizabeth Gardner is outside the WRL weather patio right now. The rain has pretty much moved on out.
It has. It's just gray out here. We're starting to see the pavement here on the patio drying out a little bit. We will take another look at dual Doppler 5000 radar and roll that forward. There's just that last little bit of rain. It's moving through Fayetteville and getting ready to pass through Goldsboro. But I mean, just a little quick sprinkle and then we're done with it. And, you know, when I checked in with you about 30 minutes or so ago, there were some, you know, blue holes there in the clouds, and they are gone now at this point. So I think it may be a while before we see a whole lot of sunshine. You can see that last little bit of rain moving through Wilson right now and then down toward Goldsboro. And then we're done. We don't have rain in our forecast from now all the way through the weekend. It looks like maybe early next week we could see another potential round of rain. Taking a look at Goldsboro and Apex, Fayetteville, where our newsroom is there on Hay Street and Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. It looks gray everywhere, but we are beginning to dry things out just a little bit. Our wind is coming out of the north now at about 5 to 10 miles per hour, but it's not gusty out there. We're not going to have anything that is too uncomfortable for us. We are definitely looking at some cloud cover. Look at this. I love this view. Our tall tower camera in southeast Wake County. You can see a lot of big puffy clouds that are closer to the ground, but you can also see that overcast there that is up above. So again, it is going to be a little while before we see a lot of clearing. What will happen is that low pressure system will continue to push offshore and it will take that rain with it. Look at that. We got a little lightning strike sitting off the coast of South Carolina. We're not likely to see any thunder and lightning with this last little bit that moves on through. It is chilly for us here. Our temperature as we get through the afternoon is going to hover from the mid 40s to around 50, looking at 50s down around, say, Fayetteville and Clinton, and mid 40s up around the Virginia line. And how much rainfall did we end up seeing? It ended up being a few hundredths of an inch in a few places, up to a third of an inch in other spots. We're doing just fine for rainfall this winter. A reminder that we consider the first day of winter to be December 1st meteorologically. So this takes in all of December and January. We've seen over 11 inches at RDU so far this winter, more than 4.5 inches above normal. And in Fayetteville, it's more than 7.5 inches so far. And that is about 1.5 inches above normal. So it's definitely been a wet winter for us. I'm taking a look at data since 1944. We're looking at the fourth wettest winter on record since 1944. 7 inches in December, about 4.25 in January. So it's definitely been wet for us. We're going to move into a dry period now for Thursday and Friday. Some beautiful weather in our forecast for Groundhog Day. Groundhogs will, you know, get out, stretch, look around. I would recommend that everybody do that on Friday because it's going to be such a nice day. Get outside, check out your shadow. The groundhogs are likely to see their shadow. And of course, the old wives' tale is that that means six more weeks of winter. What we look at scientifically is computer models that look at a longer time frame. We see trends from those, and the trend for the month of February is going to be around normal. And our normal high for this time of year is in the mid-50s. So a little bit warmer Thursday and Friday, and then cooler Saturday and Sunday with our next best chance of rain coming Monday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Coming up, an animal shelter is running a Valentine's Day promo for angry exes. How you can send a message while helping feral cats at the same time.
And here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers. The jackpot now sits at $333 million.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Several hundred Durham teachers called out sick today and rallied in the rain, calling for a solution to their staffing crisis. 12 schools closed as a result. Parents for all the schools were given just